It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What is Advent? When does the season begin? And how is it celebrated? We'll answer all of these questions and more on this edition of Getting Schooled. I'm Abby Warnasek. So when you think of Advent, you may picture a wooden calendar with 24 doors filled with chocolate. Or maybe you imagine a time of prayer, reflection, and churches decorated with candles and wreaths. Regardless of what comes to mind, Advent season holds a lot of different feelings and ideas for a lot of different people. So what does Advent mean? What's the significance of the Advent wreath? And what is the reason behind the season? Here to help me explore the themes of the holiday is theologian and Fox News contributor, Jonathan Morris. And Jonathan joins me now. Hi, Jonathan. It's good to see you again.
Hey, Abby. Nice. Last time we met, I think, was at the bar at a Fox News Christmas party.
Yes, a beer in one hand and talking about Christmas on the other. It was a perfect union. No, it was so great to meet you there. And I'm like, this is why I love our office Christmas parties, because you work with people. We don't ever get to talk in person. And there are so many people that work with us, and you see them like you and I right now, but we're not together. So it's great. And speaking of togetherness, I'm thinking about Advent. And as we prepare for this Christmas season, I wanted to ask you, you're the perfect person to talk to, just about what exactly is the Advent season for someone who maybe grew up celebrating Advent, not really knowing why they celebrate it, and maybe someone who's listening who has never heard of Advent.
Yes. Gosh. First of all, I'm just so happy to be asked to talk about Advent. I'm often asked to talk about Christmas or Easter, but Advent is a season of preparation that is so often just passed by as a preface to the important thing. And to a certain extent, it is a preface. The word Advent comes from Latin. I lived in Italy for a long time, so the Italians think that it's, Italian preceded Latin. Not true. But the Latin word adveniat means come, right? Come. And advenire, which would be the infinitive form, would be to come. It's the coming of. It's an expectation that something is going to come. And of course, we know what is going to come. It is going to be the birth of Jesus, the celebration of the birth of Jesus. If you go back to the gospel, Abby, think about Mary and Joseph. I think anybody who has children knows what this is like also in the first person. But think about Mary and Joseph as they traveled to do the census, which they were required to do as Mary was 9 months pregnant. This preface of what was to come was very important, super important, a big monumental change in their life. And as we are preparing for Christmas as Christians, we're taking these 4 weeks to say, let me get my heart ready to really be able to welcome Jesus as Mary and Joseph did into my heart, into my family, into my own personal life.
So I just went to church on Sunday with a friend, and the homily, he was talking about obviously Advent and preparation, things like that. And, the reading ended with watch, and he basically was saying that don't get caught in this season. If sleeping, be aware of what is going on, what's about to happen. Enter it with a sober mindset, not necessarily talking about drinking sober, but sober where you're alert. So what should people be looking for, and how should they be preparing during this season?
I think you gave us one of the keys. You said last week you went to church. And that's a great way.
It's been a while, I'm going to be honest.
Listen, you know, I look at, you know, I was a Catholic priest for many years. I would always tell people, you know, go to church. It's good for you. Now, as a married man with two little kids, including a 3-month-old and a 2-year-old,
oh,
it's hard to, thank you, but it's hard to go to church with these two guys, especially the 2-year-old. So I don't take it lightly to say, I take it very personally to say, it's not so easy. But, you know, when we do something, whether it's going to church or something else, and we get into that, it's a little bit like going to the gym. You could say, well, I don't really need structure to stay in shape, right? But if we don't have structure, if we don't say, I'm going to go 3 times a week, or I'm going to go 4 times a week, or 2 times a week, it's easy to just get lazy, right? And so even at, from a spiritual perspective, we often hear, I think, from a lot of people, you know, like, listen, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. That's wonderful, right? Religiosity doesn't get us to heaven, right? It's relationship with personal relationship with God, as Christianity teaches. But if we don't have some sort of structure, and that's what religion is, it's human beings putting structure into a spiritual belief, then it's very easy to say, whoops, there went Advent, right? Or even, whoops, there went Christmas, right? There went Advent. So whether it's going to church, as you mentioned, or having an Advent calendar, which we're doing with our 2-year-old now, or putting something in place that reminds us that we're getting ready for something. There's a great Christian tradition of fasting. And this is not just in the Catholic Church, but in the Orthodox, in some Protestant churches. It comes from teachings of Jesus, right? Fast and pray. Fast and pray, Jesus said to his disciples. That fasting is just saying, I'm going to avoid whatever it is, whether it's eating a certain meal or a type of food, or I'm going to fast from social media in order to remind myself to prepare the heart and the mind, right, to receive Jesus.
All right, we've got to step aside for a quick recess, but we'll be back right after this.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who does celebrate Advent? Is it all denominations of Christianity? And what are there other religions that celebrate something similar?
It's Orthodox Christians definitely celebrate it. And then I would say the higher liturgical Protestant churches as well, right? Mm-hmm. For example, Anglicans, the Anglican Church, the Church of England, some Presbyterians, some Congregationalists, some Lutherans, etc. So I would say the Evangelical Church would be the least structured liturgically, kind of the Bible churches, and would be less likely, although no, I'm sure some do, less likely to have that type of liturgical season, including the Advent season. Mm. But millions, hundreds of millions of Christians around the world are celebrating or marking, even better, marking the Advent season.
Got it. And so you had mentioned that Advent, a way to prepare is to fast, to get your heart ready for this moment. How does Advent differ from Lent as Christians prepare for Easter?
Easter. Another great question, Abby. It's a little bit like Lent light. Okay.
Lent.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a little bit less, I would say it's a little bit less structured traditionally in terms of the fasting, the abstinence, the almsgiving, all things that are recommended during Lent, but also can be excellent ways to prepare for Christmas. You think of the Advent wreath, right? That there's 4 candles. Do you remember? This could be one way to think about your preparation. The Advent wreath, there's usually in most traditions, there's 3 purple candles and 1 pink candle. The pink candle is a break in the preparation to remind us of the fact that we have hope and we have great joy even now in this preparatory season because we know the truth of what's to come. So in some churches like the Catholic Church, like the Anglican Church, the minister or the priest will actually wear a pink or rose-colored garment or vestment on the third week of Advent, which is similar to the pink or rose-colored candle. Also, just a reminder, hey, yes, we're in serious preparation time, but we know the answer to what's to come. We know that baby Jesus was born and is wants to be born in our hearts as well.
So it's the third week. Is Advent from December 1st to December 31st? What is the time frame?
So there's four Sundays. So depending on how the calendar works, but it's four Sundays leading up to December 25th.
Okay. So it ends once Jesus comes, which makes sense because you're preparing for him to come.
Yes.
So that pink candle, why is it the third week?
So it's just a break. Look at it as just like a break. We're preparing, we're fasting, or we're praying taking extra time for prayer, meditation, or we're maybe reading the gospel passages of the preparation for the announcement of the incarnation of Christ and then Mary's pregnancy and the journey towards Bethlehem where Jesus was born. But then we just pause. It didn't have to be the third week. It could have been the second week. There's no great significance. You could read into it in different ways. The Holy Trinity is the third. Three has always been together with seven. Very important numbers from a spiritual perspective. But it's just a pause. It's a break to say, don't forget, we know what's coming.
What is significant about three and seven?
Seven is a number that has always been related to eternity.
Also okay. Great in Vegas.
Yes. I like 22, but seven works. And so these go back to really Jewish traditions, right? And you look throughout the Bible, you have seven days in a week, right? On the seventh day, God rested after creation. And there's lots of different numbers that are just—it's not so much a superstitious thing as it is a teaching tool, right? Especially people who, as they're passing on stories from one generation to the next, to people who perhaps aren't even literate, right? Could not read the story, or the people who are telling the story were not literate. So they would pass them on verbally. And so you needed these type of numbers or analogies or other storytelling tools to get an important a point like eternity for seven across.
All right, we've got to step aside for a quick recess, but we'll be back right after this.
You had brought up some of the symbols, the candles, the pink and the purple and what the priest wears. You also brought up the Advent calendar and you brought up your 2-year-old, right? 2-year-old. And
yeah.
I would argue to say adults get just as excited when that little piece of chocolate comes out, when you open up each day. Where does that come from? What is that tradition?
So first of all, you're reminding me that what a bad job we've done over the last few days of actually doing that with our 2-year-old. We have an Advent calendar, and we life gets busy. So it's just one more way of being drawn into the mystery. Okay, drawn into the mystery, and we human beings need practical, tangible things to get us into the mysteries. Let me give you an example. The sacraments, okay? And many of the ancient churches, like the Orthodox churches, like Catholicism, like a relatively new Anglican church, the sacraments of baptism, for example, is in the case of baptism, it was because of Jesus's teaching, right? Of pouring water. That's a messy thing, right? Some traditions even immerge people all the way underwater, right? But it's a messy thing. And it's because we human beings are not pure spiritual beings. We have bodies. We have a need to touch things and to feel things in order to experience God. Okay, we don't always need that. But even we go back to Judaism, the anointing, this is where the sacrament of the anointing uses oil, right? Or if confirmation uses oil. It's God's way of getting messy with us is one way to explain it, right? And messy with us allows us to experience him, to experience God. We could, Abby, you and I could just sit here, close our eyes, and try to experience God. And I believe God does do that with us through prayer. But throughout human history, we've seen God intervening and getting messy with his people so that we could actually experience God in a more human way. And of course, the ultimate intervention by God is in the person of Jesus. And he really got messy with us, right? From birth to death on the cross, God making himself like us in all things but sin. That's very messy, and that's pretty awesome.
I never knew that. I have never heard that. And that's, you know, it's great talking to you because I grew up with this stuff. Maybe I just didn't pay attention enough. But I think you do a really good job of relating it and kind of, you know, the symbolism in certain things that we do. It's really easy. Whatever faith you practice, I'm sure there are traditions that you just do and it becomes part of you, but you don't really know why you do it.
Yeah.
So I never thought of it as this messy thing and relating it in the way that Jesus related that to us. That's a pretty cool thing to learn. Last question I have for you. This is a time, we keep saying it, of preparing. People pray, they fast. What would be your message to people who are getting ready for Christmas?
Yeah, I say this to myself as I'm saying it to others. Do something. Do something. It doesn't have to be anything big, but do something that helps you on Christmas morning say, I'm ready. I'm ready in a little bit better way. Imagine everything that Mary and Joseph did. Right. We were just watching. What's that movie? My wife loves it, but it's about the donkey who
it's Shrek.
Shrek.
Just kidding. I don't think so.
Okay. And people are going to listen to this and it's like, I can't believe they couldn't think of this movie. But anyway, it's like the talking animals and the donkey who helps carry Jesus, carry Mary to Bethlehem. And then there's the bad dogs. And anyway, this is the.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to. I'll send you a text.
You first said that I was like Passion of the Christ. And I don't know if there are donkeys in that one.
Talking animals. This is a cartoon.
Okay.
But. We were watching last night with my 2-year-old. But all the things that went into preparing for the birth of Jesus, right? So that to the point in which they were ready in their hearts to receive Jesus. And I think if we do something, whether it's reading the scripture, doing an Advent calendar, as we mentioned, having an Advent wreath in your house and lighting the candle each Sunday and getting... explaining it to your children or to your family or to your friends, do anything. And that's much better than doing nothing.
Does me talking to you right now count for me?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
You don't have to do anything else.
I'm set. I'm ready. Jonathan, I really appreciate your time. Have right, a very Abby. Merry Christmas with your family. God bless you guys all. And congrats on that 3-month-old. 3 months.
Thank you. 3 months and 2 years. The 3-month is so easy.
Go get some sleep.
2-year-old. Oh my gosh.
Well, God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Abby.
All right. If you miss anything from class, these are my office hours. And here are some top takeaways about the Advent season. Number one, Advent comes from the Latin word adveniat, which means to come. Advent season marks a time when Christians are preparing for the coming of Christ. Number two, There are different symbols of Advent you might be familiar with. The Advent calendar is a way to keep the mystery of the season as you wait each day to see what's behind that flap. And the Advent wreath is made up of four candles, three purple and one pink. That pink one prompting us of the hope and joy of what's to come. And number three, Jonathan reminds us that during the Advent season, believers should prepare themselves for the birth of Christ. He recommends going to church, fasting, and just doing something to prepare your heart for the reason of the season. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast on Advent. For more podcasts, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this one on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen, and leave us a review. This has been Getting Schooled with Abby Hornacek on the Fox News Podcast Network. Class dismissed. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.